I think it's interesting. You know, people talk about how sin infected the world, and I know a lot of people use it as like Adam and Eve sinned, and so it just gets passed on to people. But I see it more as everybody who continues to sin. Like, it's not because Adam and Eve sinned that birds are dying today. It's because people are sinning today that birds are dying today. And I know it's weird to think about that. You know, you don't think our sin has anything to do with the environment, but our sin, it can't help but infect the environment because we're part of our environment. I mean, we're part of this world, and we're part of the people who we love and who are connected to us, and even our enemies and our society at large. I mean, the immorality that goes on that we do always affects others. I mean, it affects God. It affects other people around us. It obviously affects ourselves, but it also, according to Scripture, affects the world around us at large, nature and animals, and you know, it's weird to think about, but it's true that sin kills everything. So yeah, that's good for to learn. And it was also great to learn that one of Sharon's favorite movies is based on Star Trek. And and I do like thinking about that line, you know, and Spock is explaining his friendship to Kirk, you know, always be your friend. And I've talked to people where I've used, you know, the promises that you make when you get married, that I will always be yours. No, through thick and thin, through rich or poor, sickness and health, you know, whatever it is, I will always be there. And so many people miss out on what that means because, you know, I don't know if it's still half, but close to half of all marriages continue to fail because people don't really consider the word that they're giving and try to keep it. They just assume, well, you can't keep it. And I think it's the same thing with sin, because I've told people, you know, you make the same commitment to God when you become a Christian. And you don't just stand there one day and say, okay, God, I believe in you, I'll follow you. It's every single day you have to reaffirm that commitment. And every single day you have to continue to love your spouse and to treat them with the respect and the care that they deserve. And to, you know, no matter what, no matter how good your day is going or how well you're getting along, you have to continue to treat them with love and concern. And same thing with God. No matter what's going on, you keep your promise. I will follow you through thick and thin. I have been and always shall be yours. So, yeah, that's a good thing to keep in mind. And Spock said it first. And I wanted to talk about a little different thing. You guys already know that I like sci-fi, and I've talked about watching Star Trek with Adelaide, and she loves it. And I don't know if I told you that my first date with Jenna was to a Star Wars movie. We went out to our first date. We went out to the park and had a picnic together and went hiking and built a dam. And when on our way back, we stopped. We drove by the theater, and it happened to be one of the premiere nights for one of the new Star Wars movies that was coming out. It was actually the number 2. And we stopped, and there had been people who had camped out overnight so they could be the first people into the theater to watch the first showing at midnight. And we stopped there, and we saw a couple of our friends, so we just got in line with them. And it was great because there's people dressed up in costume and, you know, ready to go watch the show. They had their lightsabers and their whatever. I mean, there are all sorts of different characters. There were some people dressed up as characters that weren't even in the movie. I thought that was interesting. And the news crews came from the Rockford channels, and they were interviewing. Like, they got all the people in costume together, and they were interviewing. And one of my old youth group kids was dressed up as Princess Leia because she is a Star Wars fanatic. And the lady who was from the news crew had no idea. It's like she had never watched Star Wars before. Like, you'd think they'd send someone who at least had seen the movie. And she's like, so you're Queen Leia? And my student was like, no, I'm Princess Leia. And here I am. We'd been out on picnicking, so I'm wearing like a windbreaker and like running pants. And the lady's, so who are you? I'm just the jogger from Star Wars. But it was a fun day. And it was, you know, it was also fun because, you know, it's just the excitement and exuberance of all the people, the fans who were there to see the first showing, and they were all dressed up. And they got into the movie, and just from they pop up the LucasArts symbol, you know, and to say this is the production company, and everybody starts cheering. They're all, yes, it's starting. And then they showed some previews, and they cheered the previews. And then the most cheering was when Yoda, the little green character, comes out. And he's, you know, he comes out at other times. But at the one point in the movie where he's going to have a lightsaber fight with the bad guy, So Yoda pulls out his lightsaber to fight, and just the theater just erupted, and the panda, they're like, yeah! So that was a good time. But I think I just like movies that stretch the imagination and you know, go beyond the bounds of things that we can do, and spaceships and, you know, explosions and things like that are cool too. But there's another genre that I enjoy along with science fiction, and that's kung fu movies. And I know some of the old kung fu, which is hokey, but it's still fun, is enjoyable. And we actually, Jenna and I have a small group that's been around for quite a few years now, and we wanted to do a service project just for fun. Just our small group would go around town in Rochelle and do something. So we decided that we would go around and rake people's leaves without telling them. We'd just go in their yard, rake their leaves, and then leave. And we made up, we decided to call ourselves the Christian Ninjas, because we would sneak in when nobody was around, rake their leaves, and then get out of there. And we made these little magnets that said Christian Ninjas and something about we, you know, did their yard, and then we'd leave it for them to find. So, and it was just kind of fun. So we were the Christian Ninjas. And so the, thinking of the kung fu genre, which I think is fun, these days especially, the newer movies are really fun because they're so much more realistic looking. I mean, you know it's all fake, but they do it so well that it looks more realistic. All the rope work and the technology that's built into making movies these days makes it look, I mean, you know that somebody can't run up the side of a building, but when they do it with the movies, it looks realistic. And so and also the actors are much better trained into the arts and the motions that go with the choreography of the fighting skills. So to me, it's just fun to watch, to see these impossible things happen. And I don't know if any of you guys remember the old 80s Karate Kid movie when it came out. And that was hokey. I mean, to watch it today, and I watched it, I don't know, a few months ago, and it was just, it's a fun movie to watch, but the fighting in it is kind of hokey, and some of the storyline is a little bit cheesy. But there are millions of people today who know that story. They know that there's no defense against the crane move because of the Karate Kid, and they continue to remember that. And if anybody missed it, it's the basic storyline is this scrawny Italian kid moves from the city out to California, and because his mom got a job in computers, and that was her description of it. I got a job in computers. Like back in the 80s, that was a big deal. I'm working with a computer. These days, everybody has 5 computers, and you, if you don't know how to work it, it's hard to get hired. But this Ralph Macchio, who plays Daniel in the movie, gets bullied by a bunch of kids who know karate, and they're in this one karate instructor's class, and they bully him around, and he generally spends the first half of the movie getting beat up by this gang of bullies. And so his maintenance man, the guy who lives in the apartment building with them, and he's the maintenance guy for the apartment building, he's the Mr. Miyagi is his name. Mr. Miyagi, the martial artist maintenance man, steps in to save Daniel. When he's getting beat up one time, he jumps in and he fights off these other gang of bullies and cleans up Daniel, and he teaches him how to, by the end of the movie, he teaches him how to win the championship basically by waxing his car. And everybody knows the line that says, wax on, wax off. And that's how this kid learns to win the championship, by waxing on and waxing off. And by the end of the movie, he beats everybody in the competition, and he's you know, just this fun story. And the way they, I mean, it sounds cheesy, and it kind of is, but the way they do the story, by the end, you're cheering them on. And the new Karate Kid, because they remade it, is even better because it's got Jackie Chan. I don't know if you guys know who Jackie Chan is, but he's somebody who's very skilled in martial arts and very skilled in movie making because he's been doing it for a long time. So he knows how to match the two together. He knows how to make a good fight scene. In real life, fighting is ugly and confusing, and there's not a lot of art to it, but in the movies, it's pretty. And so Jackie Chan knows how to make a pretty fight scene, and he's fast. I mean, as in a real-life human being, he's extremely fast in his movements and his choreography. When he works with other actors, I've seen the making of movies, and they talk about him, and they're like, I got to watch out, because if he didn't, like Jackie Chan can control his motions and know where he's throwing his fist and stop it before he actually hits somebody and make it look realistic. And they talk about how amazing this man is at being able to move his body and control his body and do all these moves. And so it's fun to watch him work because his movies are really good, and he moves around a lot, and he does most, I think, all his own stunts. And he's actually broken quite a few bones because he does all his own stunts, which is impressive. But the story, the new Karate Kid, was well done, because it's this kid, it's a young boy, and his mom is moving, instead of California, his mom's moving to China. So him and his mom, because it's a single parent, moved to China. So he's in this foreign culture, and he has to learn to adjust and get along, and he ends up getting beat up also by a gang. I mean, it's the same story, just rewritten. And it's a good story. They did it well. So you get involved with the emotions of this boy and what he's going through and his plight and his, you know, in this living in this foreign land. And Jackie Chan steps in as Mr. Miyagi, who's the maintenance man in his building, and teaches him how to do karate, not by waxing his car, but by taking his jacket off and putting it back on. And that's how he learns. So, but I'm sure that martial arts schools around the country are thankful for both of those movies. Because back in the 80s, I'm sure a lot of kids wanted to take karate after watching Ralph Macchio learn how to do wax on, wax off. And I'm sure today, a lot of kids have signed up to take karate classes because of, what's his name? It's Jaden Smith. Will Smith's son. If you know Will Smith, the actor, Jaden Smith is his boy. So he was the actor. So I'm sure a lot of kids are signing up for karate because of that new Karate Kid movie with Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan. So, of course, if you want to bypass all that, you can have the best of both worlds and mix sci-fi and kung fu in a movie like The Matrix, where instead of having to go through all of the learning of the, you know, going to class and studying and practicing and discipline and stuff, in The Matrix, they just take a cord and they plug it right into the back of your head, and it directly uploads the knowledge into your brain, so you know how to do all the moves in a few seconds. And then you can fight people off, and so that's like a match made in heaven of sci-fi and kung fu. And I, you know, maybe it's a guy thing, but it's just, I think that's cool. So anyway, in real life, talking about kung fu, in any martial arts skills and the discipline that it takes to learn self-defense and to be able to do those things, the practice of that, and it's a continual practice, but the development of that skill is only achieved through discipline and hard work. I mean, in real life, you can't plug in a cord to your brain and upload information and know it. I wish that was possible, especially in situations where I'm trying to teach some people. I wish I could just, you know, download the information from my head into somebody else's, but that's not the way it's done in real life. In fact, in Chinese, the word kung fu means, it's used in context other than martial arts, than fighting. And the Chinese use the words kung fu as any individual achievement, you know, any accomplishment or any skill that's cultivated through patience and through long, hard work, you know, something somebody's worked at for a long time, and they've developed the kung fu of this skill, whatever it is. Originally, kung fu was basically any area, any discipline that you excelled in because of your practice and your dedication and lifelong commitment to hard work and training in that skill. So you could be a kung fu noodle chef and have good noodle making kung fu. You could be a kung fu carpenter. You could be a kung fu panda, like the movie that they have. That's another good kung fu movie. But the idea is that you could, anybody in any skill could develop good kung fu in what they're doing through hard work and discipline in doing that. And then there's the idea of martial arts, which is actually comes from the word wushu in Chinese. Wushu is actually the word where martial arts comes from. Wu, which is martial or military, and then chu, the other half of that word, which is art or like skill or discipline or method. So it's a military skill that you develop. And either way, if you look at those words, whether you're talking about the wushu martial arts or the kung fu of just development of a skill that you're good at, it's talking about something that is hard work and discipline and practice and continual work on developing this skill and improving this skill, a lifelong commitment to always working on this, and patience, taking the time to make sure you do it right and do it well. And so the main area that the Chinese that where this originally comes from, where the Chinese, you know, applied this word kung fu most to was spiritual discipline. It was less things you do and more a spiritual discipline of your mind and your body and being the kind of person that had good kung fu. And it's not talking about fighting, it's talking about who you are, a spiritual discipline. So they knew back then when they were first building this idea, and so do we, that the way to excellence in anything, in all life, starts with training and conditioning of who you are, of your character, of your soul. It's a spiritual thing. And if you're not a good person, you can't do anything really good. Like, it starts inside of you. So here's the question of the night, applying the meaning of this word. Are you a kung fu Christian? Think about it for a second. Are you a kung fu? It could put a whole new spin on Bible bashing, kung fu Christian. But the idea is that, you know, I'm not talking about first you get into your fighting stance and then you ask somebody if you're Christian. I'm talking about the idea of developing the kind of character and a personality that puts this into a long-term, a lifelong discipline and skill-building kind of practice. What you want to look at is, are you a trained and disciplined person in your spiritual life? Is this something that who you are, you're constantly working on it, and on your life with Jesus Christ? Are you constantly working to develop it and making it stronger and perfecting it? Have you conditioned your soul to know how to take on life and how to defend your faith and how to put into practice and to live by the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you continually working to develop the skills that go along with that and becoming the kind of person that has kung fu about your Christianity? That being a Christian is not just about holding on to fire insurance from hell in your safe deposit box. Being a Christian is to say that you've accepted Jesus and that you trust in Jesus and that you belong to him and then leaving it like that and not doing anything else is like watching the kung fu movie rather than participating in it. I mean, a lot of people kind of watch Christianity. They come to church and they watch the show and then they go back home and that's it. But going to a martial arts class and studying it and learning the moves and learning the disciplines and practicing it and training your body to do things, that's what God is calling us to do with our Christianity. It's not just coming to church and watching, but putting this skill as a part of you and learning it and practicing it and continually developing it and defending your faith is like in real life going up against the martial arts masters. And if you don't know how to defend your faith, then if you're the Christian that comes and you watch the show and then somebody asks you about it, because you know we're called to always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope you have within you. And if you don't know how to do that, then you're going to be like Ralph Macchio, who learns the crane move, or somebody that watches the movie and learns the crane move, and that's what they've watched the TV show, and then they go up against somebody who really knows kung fu, they're going to get beat down. So if you don't practice this and know it, make it a part of who you are, when it comes to defending your faith and making apologetics to explain your beliefs to somebody else, you're going to get beat down and you're not going to know how to do it. So, and some people ask, well, why does it matter? Why does it matter if I know how to defend my faith? Can't I just believe and be who I am and just make it my own? And the answer to that is no, because we're up against an enemy who is out to destroy life, Jesus said the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy, and he's that's a 24/7 job that he's taken on and has commitment to. And that's I think John 10:10 is where that comes from. So every Christian ought to be working to develop their Christian kung fu, this skill set that's a part of who they are and that they're known for being for who they are and what they're good at. I remember once hearing, I remember D. James Kennedy before he passed away. I remember him talking about the judo technique of sharing the gospel. Because he had this friend who was a judo fighter, and he talked about how he watched this guy. I think he was on the beach, and they were watching him fight. He watched this guy, and he would take on guys that were twice his size. and he would use their momentum and their force against him, because that's what they do in judo. They, you know, if somebody comes at you, you grab them, you throw them with their own energy. You don't have to be super strong. You use somebody else's energy against them. And he talked about that and as using it as a skill to share the gospel. So when people say, well, I don't believe in the Bible, then he would say, well, then you say, well, what do you understand about the Bible? They say, well, I don't believe it. I said, that's okay, you don't believe it, but what do you understand about it? Because if you don't understand anything about it, then how can you say you don't believe in it? Because there might be things in there that you do believe. So you don't go right up against them and use your strength like a boxer and try to beat them down. You take their energy and your momentum and you use it against them. And he says, okay, if you don't really understand, let me explain to you what's in it. Do you really know what the Bible preaches about how we attain righteousness, about how we're saved? Do you understand that? And you open the door to be able to explain to them the gospel, even though they say they don't believe in it. And then, as an informed person, they can make an informed decision and they can continue to walk their way and you know, drift off into hell. Or they can, now that they've gotten the gospel, they can go home and they can think about it, chew it over, and the Holy Spirit can hopefully work in their hearts. So, and then he also talked about Paul when he said this, the James Kennedy, when he was explaining Kung Fu Christian, or the judo technique and sharing the gospel. He talked about Paul going into Greek cities to preach about the gospel to people who had never heard about it before, or maybe were antagonistic to this new religion that Paul was presenting. And instead of trying to defend the authority of the scripture, you know, he steps in and he says, let me tell you why the Bible is true. Paul just comes out and says, this is the truth. Let me explain to you. Let me declare the truth of God to you. I'm not going to fight about whether, you know, the history of the scripture and I'm just going to declare the truth of God to you. And then I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. And that's what he said, that's what Paul would do when he goes into these Greek cities and talks to unbelievers about what Scripture says. He would just declare the truth in the towns, and when people recognized it, once they saw that, once God started, and obviously there were people who were antagonistic to that, but the people who did hear that and started to recognize the truth, then it was easy to explain, well, let me tell you more about the history of you know, Judaism and the history of Christianity and where it comes from. And so Paul was a great Kung Fu Christian. He was good at it. And he worked his whole life on developing the skill to be a better Christian and always wanting to preach and always wanting to teach. And he passed on training advice to his followers who came after him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that's just one example. 1 Corinthians 9:23, Paul says, I do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessings. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Don't just run along. Don't just, you know, walk a little bit and run when you've got energy and then walk some. And then, you know, run to win the race. Run to go for the prize. He says in verse 25, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with the purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So Paul wasn't about just talking the talk and not walking the walk. Paul says, I am doing this and I'm doing my best to grow and to develop and to be stronger because I want to win this prize. I'm going for the gold, and nothing's going to stop me, and I'm just telling you how to do it, too. I'm not here saying, listen to my words and not, you know, don't do what I do, just do what I say. I'm saying, watch what I do, and you can do that, too, and go for the prize. And then here's a few more training tips to develop your own kung fu that come from things that Paul wrote. In Colossians chapter 5, down at verse 5, it says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. So it's this idea of, I don't care where you've come from, I don't care what you've been through, we start training today, and we're all going to train together, and we're going to get this right, and you're going to be, and you know, I've seen coaches that talk about, you know, they say, you will not drink, you will not smoke, you will not carouse. If you're going to be on this team, you're going to live a certain lifestyle. And if you choose not to live that lifestyle, you're off the team. And that's the same thing Paul's saying here. Get rid of all this old junk, because on this team, that's not the way we live. You're a new person. You're on a new team. And down at verse 12, it says, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So, you know, obviously, joining a team, whatever it is, it's more than just not doing the things you're not supposed to. It's now you learn how to do the game and how to do it well. Now you learn to work as a team, to do all the proper things that you're supposed to do, to learn the moves or the plays or whatever it is that you need to learn to do and put them into practice and become that kind of a person and do what you're supposed to do and avoid what you're supposed to avoid and do it by the power of Christ, because now you've got that in you. And then verse 16 says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you say or do, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And again, I guess that could be kind of like the team. You know, the team wears its colors. The team wears their colors with pride. And I don't know if you know anything about martial arts, but they usually have patches that explain, this is our dojo, this is where we come from, this is the master that we study under, we represent Him. So when we show our fighting skill, you know, we've been trained a certain method. When we show that off, we're showing off our master. And it's the same thing with Christianity. When we show off the way we live, we're showing off our master, Jesus Christ. So we represent Him, and we should wear His badge on our sleeve, and we should show the world, this is who we're living for. This is why I live this way, because this is how I've been taught. If you go back a chapter in chapter 4, Colossians 4 at verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about His mysterious plan concerning Christ. That's why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So he's talking about being prayerful. Stay in connection with God. Maintain that relationship and pray for your leaders, pray for Paul, and then present the gospel and present it in a good way. Present it and help people be attracted to you and attracted to your message. And then if you go back to Psalm 119, at verse 9 through 16, I'm sure you've heard this before. At Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. And you can go through that whole chapter, and it repeats this idea where I'm burying this knowledge inside of me. I'm going to make it part of who I am. The laws of God will be who I am. I'm not just reading it and doing it. I'm becoming it. I'm becoming like Jesus. I'm making myself to model after my Lord and Savior. If you want to be, if you want to have good kung fu as a Christian, then obviously first you have to get rid of sin. That's like, you know, learning to walk. And then you have to be kind, and you have to treat people with love and respect and helpfulness and the things that God, you know, that Jesus said, you know, do this, take care of the poor and the sick and the widows and the orphans. And then you have to work as one body, as the church. You have to be a partnership, a team, a single unit working together to do what Christ asks us to do. You have to support each other in this and defend each other and forgive each other when there's, and so you work together in this, and then you let Christ rule it all. You let Christ be the power that helps you to do all these things that you're called to do, and let him rule your heart, and you pray hard, and you stay connected with God, and you maintain that relationship, and you ask him for help with everything that needs to get done, and you live wisely, and you think about the decisions that you're going to make, and you make choices that are honoring to God and that won't destroy your relationship or won't destroy other people around you, and you keep God's word in your heart, and you obey it because you've made it part of you, and it comes to that point where those movements become natural. You know, it's like second nature. You practice enough, and you can do it without thinking about it. You practice anything enough. You put discipline into it, and practice, and time, and patience, and it just becomes a part of you, and you don't even think about it anymore. You just do it, and it just comes out. Without it, it's just like, I can't believe that just came out of me. It's like, and God works through that. God works through you in that, And you learn to obey God, not just because there's this list of rules that you're supposed to obey, but because you love it. It's become part of you, and you just enjoy doing this, and you enjoy the benefits of, you know, whether it's exercise or being on a team or gardening, or when you do those things, you do them because you enjoy it. And you get to that point where you just enjoy being connected with God and doing the things that he calls you to do, because you reap all those benefits of living that lifestyle, and you reap all the blessings that God pours out on you because he just loves to give good gifts to his children, and you enjoy it. And Paul wrote to Philemon, in Philemon 1:6, it says, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. So fellowship in your faith and be active in sharing your faith and work to make those connections with the church and work to share that faith with other people. And you practice it all the time so that you'll continue to become more and more effective at what you do. Better and better and better, so that people see you and they say, wow, you are really skilled at this. You are really good at this. I don't understand how you do this so well. And you say, because of God. God has taught me how to do this. Every step of the way, God continues to help me. So your life then points people to God and the things that he does. The moves in Christianity, just like Kung Fu, the moves in Christianity are pretty basic. The things we're asked to do are relatively simple ideas. I mean, they're not hard to understand. What the Bible presents is relatively basic. Like martial arts, the moves that they make, they're pretty basic when you break it down, but they require extreme discipline and practice because you put a lot of things together. And you put all these things together in your life and you start melding it into one and learning everything so it becomes second nature and habit. And that's when it starts to look beautiful. You know, you see the fights on TV, the choreographed movements, and it just looks amazing that these people do all these moves and stop and block and you know, to me, I watch it, and it's an art form. I mean, it's called martial arts, and it's the same thing with Christianity. It becomes an art form. It becomes something that you get better and better at the more you do it, and the discipline that you have and the constant repetition that you put towards it, and you master it, and you become a master at it. And if you want to excel at anything, you keep practicing. Like a doctor keeps practicing. I always wish that I could find a doctor that's not practicing anymore. They've mastered it. They know how to heal somebody, so I don't have to be a guinea pig. But the idea is, whatever skill you have, you continue to practice, and you never stop. I mean, until the day that you die and go on into heaven, and you keep practicing it there. Like you never stop developing your Christianity and growing your faith and learning how to love people and how to share your faith. So to break this down into a practical level, if you want to have strong Christian kung fu, if you want to be a disciplined, skilled individual at what you're doing and be part of the body of Christ and reaching out to and doing God's mission, pray. I mean, that's a basic step. Pray all day, every day. Never stop the conversation with Jesus. Basic step. Simple. Read the Bible. Another step. Simple. Read God's Word. Soak in God's Word. More than TV, more than Facebook, more than texting and movies and music and games and work and whatever, you know, the things that we fill our lives with. Spend more time and more concentration in the Bible than that superfluous stuff. And you'll start developing those skills. And you continue to do it and it gets better and better and more natural and you start reaping the benefits. So praying, reading the Bible, and then you become knowledgeable and grow that. And then another, so that's two steps. And then another one is obeying God. And how do you obey God? By hiding His Word in your heart. So you read the Bible, you learn it, you make it part of who you are, and you start obeying God and doing the things that God tells us to do and avoiding the things that God tells us to avoid. And then you be kind. So that's step number four. We pray, we read the Bible, we obey God's Word, we reach out to the world with love. With kindness, with help, with whatever we can do, with sharing our faith because we know they'll die in their sin unless they turn to Jesus. So what is that, four? And no, that would be five, sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. That's our mission. That's what we're called to do. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach and teach them to obey the commands I've given. And when you do that, when you meld all these things together and you start doing this as a total package and making it part of who you are, a discipline of yourself, people will see it and be amazed. People will see Jesus Christ at work and be amazed. They'll watch you preach and they'll see Jackie Chan doing his moves. And they'll be amazed at how he moves and the speed and the strength. And when they see you preach because God is helping you, they'll see a Jackie Chan Christian, a kung fu Christian. And remember that, young grasshopper, as you're learning this kung fu, 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, we are human. We're human. Jesus was human. So we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning, to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So it is a fight. We're fighting against an enemy, but we're not fighting human warfare. We're fighting spiritual warfare. So our kung fu, our Christian kung fu, is a spiritual thing that we develop as part of who we are. It's in our heart. It's in our souls. And here's the clincher. A couple more scriptures. Being a kung fu Christian is not an option. It's not something you can't say, you know, I'm good at the way I am. I'll just stop here. This is my level. I'll just stay here. You know, they have belts in kung fu. I'll stop at an orange belt. I don't want to be a black belt. No, you keep working your way up. And it's not an option. Matthew 16, at 24, this says, Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So Jesus said that to a group of disciples. It's not about what you call yourself, it's not about what you look like, it's not about how, you know, what you look like at church or the words you use. It's about how committed you are to living for Jesus, how committed you are to following Christ in everything that he tells us to do. Just a couple more scriptures. Hebrews 12 starts off. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given up your lives in your struggle against sin. So he says, you continue to work on this, and when it gets hard, you keep working. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So don't give up. Keep your eye on Jesus Christ. Let him be your model, because he didn't let anything stop him. He went to the cross and he died in his commitment. For the joy set before him, he did it. So for your joy, you do the same thing. And don't give up. Watch Jesus. Model your life after him, because you haven't given your lives up yet. So keep working at it. And of course, it's worth it. I mean, we talk about Christianity can be hard and it can be difficult and be a lot of work, and that's true, but it's worth it. In James chapter 1, at verse 12, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God has never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. So we get to be sons and daughters of God. We get to be his prized possession out of his love, out of what he's given us. And everything good comes from him. And if we are dedicated and we endure the trials and we endure the temptations and we live for him and we do what's right, we'll be given crowns by him. He wants to reward us. He wants us to see the benefits and the good. So besides the benefits and the blessings that we receive while we're here on earth, we get even more when we make it through to the end, when we win the prize, when we go all the way. So that's it. That's being a Kung Fu Christian. So you can think about that the next time you see a Kung Fu movie. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your love, for your commitment to us, for your dedication, for you showing us your example when you went to the cross and gave your life, that we too could have commitment and discipline and never give up, because we have your power to turn to. We have your power to depend on. And Lord, I thank you so much that you have taught us so well, that you've given us such a good example to follow. And I pray that you'd help us all to develop the skill and the patience and the endurance and the character traits that make us a person that has that essence of Christianity as part of who we are. That we don't just put a title on our lives and say we're good, that we want to make ourselves better and develop our skills better and to grow our faith stronger and to always work for that perfection, to keep perfecting ourselves because we have you as our model, Lord. Help us to do that, Jesus, and to make you proud and to be good representatives of you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.